about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Pavlov into the blue line. He shoots. He scores! Say hi to Jane Biondi for me!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, we'd like to inquire about a room. But we only have 51 American dollars.
We only have one room that you can get for 51 bucks. Room 204.
That sounds good.
Well, the thing about room 204 is that a terrible murder happened there. A woman killed her husband. It was the most gruesome thing I ever heard of.
What do you mean? What happened?
She decapitated him. Castrated him. Defanged him. She removed his hands and feet.
Right.
I'll always remember the day of that most horrible murder. The 1st of November.
Oh, it's today's date. Weird.
Yeah, it's today's date. It happened earlier today.
Okay.
And the police psychologist said she may return to the scene to kill again.
And now...
Hey, guys.
Our feature presentation.
I missed that show.
I know.
I missed that show, too. That's why I played that, because I saw some Flight of the Conchords over the weekend, which still airs occasionally on HBO, I guess it is. And it's so funny.
That show was so good. It had music in it, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the bad New Zealanders decided they didn't want to do it anymore because they'd rather have a life.
Americans never make that decision, by the way. If you're on a hit show, screw your life.
In England, if you get a hit show, you go 2 or 3 seasons and you just call it quits.
Yeah.
Never they said, happens here.
I know you love it, and I know it's a cash cow, but I had a baby. I don't want to come back to America. I'd rather stay home. So no more Flight of the Conchords. But, yeah, it is great. You can get the whole series, which I think is what? Was it 2 seasons? 3 seasons?
I think it was only two.
Only two. You can get it on DVD. Welcome in, folks. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. Today is Monday. I have to tell you that I could not be more shocked to hear Kevin's voice on the radio.
I know.
We showed up probably 10 seconds before you started the open.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised you showed up at all, to be honest. And I can't wait for the recap in about a half an hour.
I have the option of not showing up if you'd like. I would like that.
No, there's plenty of that going on already. Right. We don't need any of that today. Thank you very much. Anyway, before we talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, we do have a lot going on. But listen to this.
Take it easy, dude. Take a breath. Take a breath. Slow down.
Here's another one of these stories that comes along from time to time, and it's been a while since we've done the phone topic of people who think somebody is one gender, but they turn out to be another gender.
Ooh, yeah.
But
bad gender surprise?
Yes. How does this happen? Manati Katua, age 26, of Orissa, India, and her family were completely fooled by her groom, Stikant Rutre, when he turned out to be a woman. Now, it's not like they met in a bar one night and they started making out and then she found out it was a different gender. They lived together for a year.
What?
Okay, but wait a minute.
So they had to have sex in that amount of time, no?
Well, she certainly wanted to, but he resisted, saying he wanted to instead wait until they got married under the pretext of a religious vow. Apparently, there was what they consider a large dowry involved, including a car and gold ornaments and a certain amount of cash.
Now that's where one family pays the other family to get rid of their kid, right?
Exactly. Yes, okay. And apparently, it's still traditional in India, where you marry my daughter, you also receive these thank you parting gifts.
That's so funny. You not only get my daughter, but I'm going to pay you extra.
Look, I know she's kind of homely, but a car. Come on. I would try to find out and confirm his gender, but failed repeatedly, said our friend Manati. One day, I managed to force open the bathroom door when he was having a bath, and my worst fears became true. He was a woman.
Wow.
Local police are investigating the case. The bogus groom is nowhere to be found at the present time, having left with the car and a Jeep, which was bought with the loans acquired from an account in his girlfriend's name.
Wow.
Now, so many questions about that. I mean, Adam's apple obviously comes to mind.
Do you
just wear a lot of turtlenecks? I mean, how do you get around your roommate much less fiancé, not seeing your neck for a year. Unless you're just a, I mean, I imagine you're, I don't
fat.
Know. I just.
Yeah, that might be.
That really, that's the only thing that comes to mind is fat. I don't know.
Not everybody has such a pronounced Adam's apple, right?
No,
right.
Not everybody does. I mean, there are some guys
Muggs
who
doesn't
are,
have much. I'm looking. Yeah. Of course, there's some fat.
He's suspect, too. But Muggs is so hairy, there's no question that he's a man.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, again, you know, I can see being fooled for a day. I can't see being
maybe a week. And if even a week, you'd go, wow, my powers of perception are pretty weak right now because right. I should have seen that coming.
A week, a year. You think you're in love and you're getting married and all of that. I mean, just it's an amazing story. And these are, you know, certainly not common, but also not unheard of. I mean, I see a couple of these stories a year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, well done.
I guess
dude,
so.
with a new Jeep.
Now, can they get that annulled, or do they have to just do it?
Well, I think they're going after this guy for fraud. Yeah,
I see.
I think they want to arrest him and charge him because, I mean, unless he has another explanation we're not aware of, that's certainly what it looks like, is he did it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He certainly didn't do it all for the nookie. We know that much. Because there wasn't
Do not ever quote that band.
Hey, that was appropriate, at least. That wasn't a stretch.
There's no file.
I don't know. That hurts me.
Good time.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know what the hell you're trying to say. Will you just talk, please?
Absolutely. We've had a conversation going off the air. This is how it usually starts, is that we have arguments off the air, and then they make their way on the air.
Right.
And this particular one is beautiful face, ugly body. And we got this from Psycho Mike, who was doing it on Loveline. Beautiful face, ugly body. So which do you go for? If you're gonna have sex with somebody, do you pick the beautiful face, but the not so hot body, or do you pick the hot body and the, you know, fug?
Right. Right.
Which do you go for?
I'm sure for most people, it would depend on the degree of each.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yes.
I mean,
how ugly?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. How fat? I mean, there's some questions there, but there are people who have definite preferences. Excuse me. I had trouble saying that one. But yeah, we will definitely discuss.
So that should be good. We also have, we're going to talk about the new TSA policy. I don't know if you've noticed, but the TSA. In Boston now, is starting to question people like they do in Israel. And the TSA pat-down is getting to be soft-core. I got to tell you, I can stand there all day and watch that.
I had a friend, still am friends with him, who recently flew. And they put the TSA agent, a man obviously, put his hands inside my friend's underwear. Now,
sweet!
Are you serious?
At what point is it screening to go on an airplane, and at what point is it molestation?
Whoa.
And at what point can you ask for a repeat?
Around the fingers went around the band of, you know, inside his underwear around his body, though, but not to, you know, not down with the junk and everything, but still, that's a little
well, how close
comfort,
do you have
right?
to get? Yeah, of course.
I mean, right. I mean, plus that's where, if you're a mule, that's where, you know, a lot of times you're packing your stuff too. So you don't want that.
That's where I'm packing everything. But I would ask for that. That's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
So anyway, we got that coming up as well. We have Stana Katic on the program today.
Yes. She's awesome.
She's got a new movie. We don't care what it's called. We love her.
I don't care what it's called. I don't care what it's about. I just want to talk to Stana Katic because she's so hot.
Yeah.
Are we going to have highlights of Whisker Wars?
Are we going to have highlights of Whisker Wars?
Yes.
These are the faces of warriors. They're dedicated, determined. Ready for battle.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Awesome. I can't wait. This is this is the most ridiculous
Wars,
show.
It's about the world of competitive bearding. Now, we'll discuss at the time, but what do you have to do to grow a beard? Isn't it nothing?
Yeah,
correct.
Nothing.
But not like these guys, though. These guys go for it. You know that. They're not just playing around.
And I do sense that their entire identities are wrapped up in this beard. I don't know what they would do with their lives if they shaved one day. In fact, when we talk about Whisker Wars later on, there's a very touching story about a guy who's a world champion who had a power tool accident that almost ended his professional bearding career. You wouldn't think that a story like that would come out of the world of competitive bearding, but it did.
Wow. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about all the celebrities and everything that went on over the weekend. I was not paying any attention, so if there's some good celebrity gossip, I missed it.
Okay.
Can't wait. And we are going to have a new feature called Is Being an A-Hole.
I don't know that that's
necessary. Was that the title we decided about?
By the way, I agree. I don't know it's necessary because it's a rhetorical question. Seriously. looking for an actual answer. The answer is in the question. So anyway, that's coming up this morning as well. And a complete recap of Lollapalooza. That is coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
Coming up just after the top of the hour, we are going to find out how it's possible that Kevin is even alive today. I flew to Las Vegas to place the bet because I thought this was going to be a sure thing. When I started seeing your tweets coming out of Chicago, I thought, well, that's it. He's flaming out right now. This is going to be the end.
I don't remember tweeting much, so we need to get some. Is there some kind of a drunk tweet protection program like there used to be for email?
There ought to be. There ought to be something like that.
You have to do a math problem or whatever that was so that you can actually sign in?
Well, some of these tweets, the way they're written, it looks like they were ass-tweeted. I mean, it looks like your butt actually typing them and sending them. So we'll discuss that coming up after the top of the hour and find out what the highlights and lowlights were of the Lollapalooza. I love that you guys went to Chicago together, you and Dave at Kick in Mexico, and Dave said he didn't see you all weekend long.
Not one time. We tried 50 times. It was like, where are you? I'm here. Okay, stay there. I'm going to go there. Where are you? Nope, I'm here. Okay, stay there. I'll go there. So we couldn't meet up.
In the meantime, Ralph Garman called in sick today. So ladies, please enjoy him. We'll take a look at the showbiz beat for you. We'll start with box office at the weekend. A huge surprise, shattering expectations. You know, for all the talk I hear about Hollywood is in trouble and they're not making any money, it does seem like about every other week there's another movie that blows away expectations and makes so much more money than people expected it would,
yeah,
right?
You're totally
I'm not imagining
right.
that, right?
Mm-mm.
Well, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I don't know what you guys thought, but I certainly wasn't looking for $54 million over the box office weekend.
Wow. God. I would have thought 30 would be good.
I know the reviews were really good, which surprised the heck out of me, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, the trailer was really good, too. Yeah. I mean, I want to go see it. It made 19 just on Friday, and I was thinking, wow, because, you know, a lot of people thought this was a really risky proposition because the last Planet of the Apes movie, which was, what, 3 or 4 years ago or something like that, was pretty much a dud.
Yeah.
But this one, I guess they regrouped and came back. $54 million box office over the weekend. The Smurfs, Dave, $21 million, number two.
Yeah.
Then Cowboys and Aliens was three. The Change-Up, here's the disappointment of the weekend for you. Think about all the press you saw Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds doing. And this looked like a pretty broad appeal comedy. Only made $13.5 million to come in at number four. They have to be disappointed with that, right?
Yeah,
I would think so.
Especially Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he has had, you know, a pretty successful string of movies. But, number four, Captain America. After that, then Harry Potter, Crazy Stupid Love, Friends with Benefits, Horrible Bosses, and your Transformers hanging on, rounding out the top ten this weekend.
Apparently, Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber have broken up. Now, did we cover this on Friday? Because I don't remember.
Well, I mean, this is one of those constant stories that is never true, but they always print it.
Well, the London Sun reports that she dumped him because of who he's hanging out with. Now, can you imagine Justin Bieber hanging out with Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, and Sean Kingston? Can you imagine that? The little dude's just hanging around with him. They're like, how do we get rid of Bieber? I mean, there's no way those guys want to hang out with him.
I can't imagine what Lil Wayne and Justin Bieber have to say to each other.
Zero. It's like that little kid that just likes to hang around you because it's like a little brother. You know what I mean? Like you're 4 or 5 years ahead. The little brother wants to do everything you do, and the little brother's always in the way, and you always have to watch him. That would be horrible to have Justin Bieber hanging around with you.
Yeah, that doesn't really make any sense to me at all. I mean, I can see why Selena would be tired of that too. But like I said, these stories are never true.
They come up all the time.
Well, they were on TV last night, kissing and hugging and holding hands at the Teen Choice Awards. So Jelena is very much alive. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Jolina.
That's her name, Jolina.
Really?
Jelena.
F-U.
Well, you know, all celebrity couples, they have to have a catchy shorthand. You know that.
F-U, Lena.
Don't listen to the radio for the next 30 seconds if you don't want details spoiled on the season premiere of Two and a Half Men. But apparently TMZ.com, and we'll talk to Harvey Levin later on today, they had spies at the taping of the first episode that is going to air on September the 19th. And here's some of the details that TMZ is reporting. We all know by now that Charlie Sheen's character, Charlie Harper, gets killed. And the season opens with a funeral.
Right.
Well, how does he die? is one of the questions that people have wondered. And here's what they're reporting. That he's in a shower with a woman, and his other woman, his girlfriend, I assume, the woman who doesn't know that he's in a shower with another woman, catches him. And he somehow slips and falls onto a subway platform and gets hit by a speeding subway train.
Wow!
Causing a, quote, meat explosion. Now, meat explosion...
That was my nickname.
First of all, what's your nickname? Second of all, didn't they play Lollapalooza last year?
They did.
Meat explosion?
They got it closed down.
Some of the celebrity guests in the audience include Jenny McCarthy, who I guess had an arc on the show at some point as an ex-girlfriend. She will be there. And John Stamos will also be making a guest appearance at the funeral. I'm not sure if he's previously been on or not. But in case you were wondering what Charlie Sheen has to say about it, apparently he's still spewing his BS because his quote is, he'll be watching his fake funeral attended by his fake ex-girlfriends from his very real movie theater with his very real hotties in tow.
Oh, God.
I'm so tired of him.
By the way, don't lots of really rich celebrities have a little movie theater in their house? Charlie Sheen manages to talk about his in almost every interview, as if that's the crowning achievement of his life, that he has but this... Look, I can put five seats in my living room and call it a movie theater, okay?
Listen, he also brags about the women that he hangs out with, but he pays... $20,000-$30,000 to hang out with them. That's a loser.
And they're not that hot. Am I right, ladies?
You are right.
They're not that hot.
One of them is, but... Wow.
This is me not on drugs, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, today's celebrity birthdays from the Kevin and Bean Show. How about the great Academy Award-winning actor Dustin Hoffman? There's a guy who doesn't work enough for my taste, by the way. But what are you going to do? He's 74 years old. I guess he deserves a day off. Also, U2's Dave Evans, better known as The Edge, turns 50 today. Scott Stapp of Creed.
Yeah!
37 today.
Creed!
let me see. Dottie Most from Happy Days. He was Ralph Mouth. Turns 58 years old today. And Cool Mo D celebrates his birthday today. Go see the doctor. He is 49. And that is the Showbiz Beat. White Stripes on the Kevin and Bean Show, former band that played Lollapalooza. Now dearly departed. I miss them already. So speaking of Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
You're alive.
Of course I'm alive.
You survived.
Listen to him,
of course. Although I did have to walk here in socks today. I did have to walk about four blocks in Chicago in socks.
Really?
Did you lose a shoe?
Oh my God. We'll talk about the mud later. But I'd like to talk about Friday night first. I saw Muse again. And by the way, that's twice in a week. And that's cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's not enough. But they were awesome. But after them, I'd had a drink, and by drink I mean adult beverage,
right?
Or a lot.
And by A you mean 20?
Yes. So I was a little out of it, and I lost everybody. And this happens to me a lot in Vegas or anywhere else. I lose Dave. I lose all my friends. I don't know where anybody is. So I just start wandering the city. And Friday night I ended up in this horrible bar, and you know how I like bad. I thought this looks bad enough that I'm going to go in and spend some time in here. There were like eight people in there.
What are you looking for when you pick a bad bar to go into? I mean, what's the draw?
I don't know. Just the level of badness.
And what makes it bad? I mean, is it that it's dirty? That it's dark? That it looks like it might be dangerous?
Yes.
No. Okay. So the sketchy.
The people in there are sketchy. I think what sealed it for me was she had to be 65-year-old lead singer of a band that looked like she was 95, and she was carrying in her own amp. And I thought, oh, this is going to be some good entertainment. And by then, I'd given up on finding everybody else. I just figured, well, I'm just going to sit here for a while. I can get drinks. Everywhere else in the city is pretty busy because they're better places. Right. So I was just sitting there drinking, and that's when the first tweet that you printed happened.
All right. Please go to KevinandBean.com if you want to play the home game of this conversation, because Dave and Kevin went to Lollapalooza together over the weekend. And Dave's tweets, I got a feel for what was going on in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Dave was tweeting about what was happening on stage, about the restaurants he was going to, about the things he was seeing. And it was all in English, a language that Dave's usually not that familiar with, but he does a really good job on the Twitter. And I understood where Dave was and what Dave was what had going on. Kevin's tweets got more and more confusing the further into the weekend we got. Now, I don't even know how to pronounce the first tweet on the air. I got the feeling of what it was you were trying to say, But I mean, are you, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say, are you typing this like touch typing without looking at your phone? Are you typing it without seeing the letters that you're picking?
I wasn't seeing clearly, if that's what you're asking.
I mean,
By shirt hole bar, right. You know what I mean. Just take the R out.
I did. I knew what you meant. It was shirt hole with a comma between the L and the E, too.
Right.
And I guess the bad band was
shirtier. Was even shirtier. It was even shirtier.
Yeah, right? Band small b, small a, capital N, small d. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I'm like, how do you even accidentally make that combination of letters? I just, were you tweeting with your penis? I mean, what was going on?
I had a few drinks.
Do you look at what you, do you just tweet it as fast as you can and then send it without looking at it and then just put your phone back in your pocket?
Dude, you think I have a memory of that? I don't remember tweeting it. I thought I was texting Dave.
Oh,
because
I see.
We were supposed to meet up and he had some parties to go to.
Okay.
And I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to, you know, but I need to let Dave know I'm lost and so maybe we can get back together. I didn't even know I was tweeting it.
So
we need some kind of safety thing for tweeting.
Well, we need a drunk Kevin translator is what we need on the Twitter. But I do know that I retweeted you and promised the listeners who were going crazy over this that we were going to be demanding translations of your tweets or at least an explanation. And most people wrote back and said, what makes you think Kevin is going to be on the show? And then others thought, what time will Dr. Drew be on for the intervention? I mean, a lot of people had questions. All right. Now, the next tweet, you tell me where you were. The gist of it is that you wish you had any idea where you were.
Right.
Wish Lisa is spelled WISHH. Had is spelled HBA capital D. Any idea is spelled as one word is little a capital N Y N I D E A A. Where is spelled WHR. I mean, it just goes on and on and on like that.
All right, now I'll tell you.
Yeah, where are you at this point?
Well, at this point, this was night two. This was Saturday night. It was after I'd seen Eminem, which was epic, by the way. It was really great. But I had a few drinks. So, and I also forgot my phone charger. So now my phone's going dead. So that was kind of a rush job. Like I left there and I wandered around Chicago and I was wandering around for, I don't know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
Oh.
And so then I tweeted that and my phone was dying.
Okay.
And
your
then
phone was
dead,
D-E-W-A-D, dead.
Yeah, that happened. Then my phone died and then, and I kept asking people directions and I was walking and walking and walking. And it was literally now, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And
What time is it now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have any idea.
You don't know whether it was 1 or 4.
It was 4, but it was I was lost.
Okay.
But I was walking around the neighborhood. I knew I was in the area, but I just couldn't find the hotel. I just wanted to find the hotel. So I borrowed the dude's phone and I tweeted that.
Okay, I wanted to stop you right there.
All right.
Paid $20 to borrow a cell phone. Now, look, lots of people have lost their phones. Very few people have the nerve to go up and try to borrow a stranger's phone.
I know, but it was an hour, and I thought I was going to die. I was like, I've been walking forever. I need to all I wanted to do is find the address of the hotel.
Tell me about walking up to a stranger and saying, I'll give you $20 if you let me use your phone.
Well, the first two didn't. I'll tell you that. And then the third person was like, yeah, all right, he was drunk as I was. He said, yeah, okay, that's fine.
And if you're borrowing a guy's phone, do you then tweet from it?
I did, yeah. I just signed in. I said, do you mind if I just... He didn't care. He was just standing there.
Imagine how bizarre it was for this guy to have this vanilla gorilla come up to him with a $20 bill. All right, you can use my phone, assuming, hey, I got an emergency phone call to make or something like that, or I just need to call and get an address. And then he goes, hey, dude, do you mind if I log on to my Facebook? And you're like, what the hell's going on here? I couldn't believe that you paid a guy, and then we're standing in the street in Chicago in the middle of the night tweeting about it from his phone.
Yeah. So that was about an hour later. And in the meantime, I kept thinking, Dave has all these parties lined up. So this is going to be awesome, but I just got to get back to my hotel so I can find Dave. And about, another half hour later, maybe, I ended up finding the hotel and walked in and just collapsed on the bed. And the punchline to this story is our hotel was how far from the venue, Dave?
Two blocks
from the venue.
Yeah!
That's where our hotel was. two blocks.
Yeah.
And I walked for an hour and a half. Explain to me how that happens. How I didn't, in an hour and a half, even on accident, walk by my hotel.
Yeah, that is, that's puzzling.
You probably did.
I probably did like six times.
Yeah.
It was funny to see the hashtag that developed, not just from Dave, who was in Chicago, but from all the listeners who were asking, has anyone seen the monkey? Is this man still alive? Blah, blah, blah. But the hashtag was, where's Kevin? That's what was all, I'm surprised it didn't trend.
What?
It was all over Twitter yesterday. It was hashtag, where's Kevin? Trying to find you. Dave, what was going through your mind when you could never hook up with Kevin? What was the problem?
I took it as, oh, well, he's doing his own thing, you know, and I just said, oh, well, I gave up on him. I was like, he's doing his own thing. He's, you know, I'm not going to find him. This is hard. Oh, well, good night.
Yeah, that's what she said. No, what happens is when I get a little drunk, I'm not a huge fan of spending all night going, hey, where are you? Where are you? Hey, where are you? Let's hook up. Hey, where are you? Let's go to another party. Hey, where are you?
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
Right.
That's
so
one of my pet.
You just do that once and then
you're That's one
good.
Of my pet peeves. Yeah, I do it a couple times. I really did want to hang out with Dave, but I didn't want to just sit there all night and try to hook up with him. So then, you know, then I start walking and I find a bar or whatever. I sit down. I'm doing my thing. Thank God for Nicole, by the way. I don't know how she found me in that bar, in that dumpy bar that I was in on Friday night. But she came in and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm watching this band. And she said, this band is terrible. And I said, I know, isn't it great? And so she saved my life, thank God. And
then I so you her. Might still be there if you had run into someone you knew.
If I hadn't met Nicole, I'd probably be dead. Yeah. But it was a fun show. I know that.
Go to KevinAbead.com if you want to see Kevin's tweets for your own self. I think you'll enjoy them very much. This is the Kevin Abead Show. We'll be right back. Coming up in less than a half an hour here on the Kevin Abead Show, we go deep inside the world of competitive bearding. Yes, Whisker Wars. Kevin, I hope you have that on your DVR waiting for you at home when you get back from Chicago. Oh, you gotta see Whisker Wars. You gotta see how serious these guys are about their beards.
I'm sure they'll replay it. It's on the Independent Film Channel and it is the best.
It is awesome. So that's coming up here on the Kevin Abead Show. Speaking of independent films, who's better than Stana Katic from Castle? Who's better than her, huh? The
She's
answer,
great.
No one.
Yeah.
No one is better than her. And Stana joins us on the Kevin Abead Show right now. How are you, my dear?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Very good. Wonderful to talk. I can't tell you how much we've missed you since the last time you were in. How's the Castle going? You working right now? You guys back into production?
Yeah, we just started. We're finishing up episode 3 right now. Yeah.
I'm so happy when a show like that that's so much fun comes along and I like it and then it doesn't immediately take a nosedive and get canceled. Thank God it's actually a big hit and is coming back, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if we wouldn't have taken a nosedive. We lucked out and got some really great fans that kind of kept us afloat from that first season. So I think it came down to the fans, not down to anything else.
Beat and I often love stuff, and then it seems to be the kiss of death. So maybe we should just stay off of it. But apparently there were enough other people that this particular one stayed on.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you don't want us watching your show, I think is the point. All right.
Well, mind.
The reason Stana is on today is because she is involved in something that is kind of making Hollywood history a little bit. Just when you think it's all been done before, just when you think there's one way to do things, along come your little friends, the Polish brothers, who are terrific writers and directors that I fell in love with years ago with their movie Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yeah.
And I ever since that movie, it haunted me. That movie was so beautifully made. And I've always kept an eye on these guys, and they always do interesting, interesting things. And they're those directors, and there are a lot of them who go – they do big budget movies, but then they also come back and do the small personal ones, and they're always worth watching. You're involved in a movie with them called Four Lovers Only. That is, I mean, if I believe the what I've heard about this, it cost essentially nothing to make, essentially nothing to market and advertise, and every dollar is profit at this point, right?
Pretty much, yep.
Tell us more, Stana, because this is fascinating in a world where you see that almost every movie that's released loses money.
It was a project that they kind of decided to model after the French New Wave, which was a type of filmmaking back in the 60s that started off in France, where filmmakers decided to kind of break the regular mold. They decided not to bring on the big budget crew and the big budget kind of cameras and just grab a camera and go handheld around different parts of France and put together a story using a collage of images and using actor friends, and you just use your resources as a creative artist and manage to make some really inspiring stuff. back in the day. And then we kind of did the same thing. We were pretty much just a band of gypsies, you know. There's about five of us in total traveling around in a car throughout France, two summers ago, and we had a blast. We had an absolute fantastic time with this kind of creative experiment.
I've seen gypsies. You are no gypsy.
So do you, I mean, are you, I mean, is it as simple as you're driving down the road and you go, oh, that's a beautiful street corner. Let's hop out and do some of this dialogue there and film it, and then we'll edit it together later?
Yeah, kind of as simple as that. I mean, we knew the script was already there. We worked out the script maybe the night before, between the actors and the director, and just dialogued a bit about it. So we knew what scenes we were filming each day. We didn't necessarily know exactly where we would be filming it. Oftentimes, Michael, the director, would go scouting the night before, or he had a couple of places in mind just from being around Paris for 2 weeks ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes things would happen, and we'd find something that was just too stunning to pass up, and we'd decide to shoot there. I mean, we got shots from Mont-Saint-Michel, which there's no way we would have been able to film there under a couple of mil just to pay for being on the location, you know? And we got it for nothing. People thought that we were shooting a wedding.
Sweet. So it was just guerrilla filmmaking. If you show up with low enough tech equipment, people will just think you're tourists.
Yeah, and that's what we did. We shot, I think it was with the 5D. I'm not sure about the difference between the 5D and the 7D Canon. And it looked like it was your regular kind of standard photo camera. And so people did think that. They thought that we were shooting like wedding footage for a couple.
And this took 12 days total?
Yeah, in total it was 12 days. Yeah, just running around France.
Wow. Well, and that's not a terrible way to spend a couple of weeks either, by the way, just running around France, even if you are doing some work.
No, I mean, it was fantastic. We started off in Paris, and we made a big fat circle and managed to go down by the Mediterranean. And it was just really a wonderful experience as a human and then as an actor, obviously, yeah.
Is French one of the 80 languages that you speak, Stana?
Yeah, I was babbling a bit in
French.
Of
course it is. Of course she also speaks French.
Look, just look like her, look. Me, she speaks Serbian and Croatian and French and Italian. That's
sure.
The same thing.
Now, what about the, of course, the payoff for the viewer is if the movie's any good. What's the movie about and who are you?
Well, the movie's about two former lovers that that slam into each other in Paris after 8 years of being apart. And everything comes back, basically, to them, and they decide to go on this journey together. They have lives that they've invested in the parts of the world that they're now living in, and what they discover eventually through it is that they can't hang on to this incredible kind of affection that they have for each other. They have to kind of sacrifice that because of some of the decisions that they've made. And, you know, in some ways they were so young and they stupidly let each other go. And it kind of points to the idea of if you find something really, really great, don't screw it up. Don't mess it up. Hang on to each other.
And at what point did the Smurf show up? Because I'm confused
nope,
now.
Nope. Different movie.
No
different
Smurfs?
Movie. You didn't see something with it?
Different movie altogether. As a matter of fact, this movie wasn't even in the theaters, was it?
Well, you know, we did a couple of screenings. We've been doing some film festivals. European film festivals have been really great in embracing the project. So, in fact, my partner in crime, Mark Polish, is in Poland right now for a number of screenings for the Transatlantic Film Festival. I showed it in Czech Republic. It's going to Germany as well. And it looks like it's getting a lot of great reception.
Where can we get it?
You guys can get it on iTunes. Go and download it and enjoy it. I think it's like $5, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah, and
awesome.
It's beautiful black and white. And so I hope people get a chance to go and then just see something that was a creative experiment and a lot of fun to do.
I'm so glad people are getting away from that nasty color.
I agree. All the best movies are in black and white, Santa. We all know that. The film is called For Lovers Only. You can get it on iTunes. It's also available through Amazon download, PlayStation, Xbox, cable, video on demand. I mean, there are a lot of ways to get it. It is an interesting new business model, and I can't wait to see it. It sounds really, really good. And when's Castle coming back, Santa?
Well, we come back in September. I think around September 19th. I can't be quoted on the dates exactly, but September
Beautiful.
For sure.
Beautiful. We love you. Thank you so much for coming back on the Kevin DeBean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, guys. Big kiss.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, tomorrow, comedian Eddie Ift is going to be in studio. Also, we got the spokesperson and director for 5 Second Films, Kevin Smith, later in the week. Adam Carolla will be here, Nick Swartzen, Dr. Drew, and David King of Mexico in Chicago. I'm surprised you haven't been squealing like a little girl. Paramore is coming in on Wednesday.
He was squealing last night.
So that's all coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is out sick. Alex, producer Alex, in studio, filled in for Showbiz. Hey, Alex, what's going on?
Nothing. I just care about Kevin tweeting. I want him to tweet.
Is
all
that the best?
Day
Can you love
long.
That so much?
Come on now.
Go to kevinandbean.com. If you missed us talking about it earlier, you have to see Kevin's tweets from Lollapalooza. They really will make you feel good about yourself.
The way you guys doctored him, though, don't you feel bad?
No, not they at needed all, nothing. All right, I'm going to start out strong. Since Ralph's not here, I'm going to hook you up with some passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Fright Night on Tuesday, August 16th. It comes out Friday, August 19th in theaters. This looks awesome. Colin Farrell's a vampire. I'm kind of in.
It looks pretty cool.
And Lisa, he looks hot again.
I know. So, he made that up for a while.
Let's get the first two callers into Chip and go, what up, Chip? 1-800, what's the number here?
520-1067.
Yeah. Wow, maybe I'm drunk. Maybe Kevin's, vapor is.
Don't blame me.
You get drunk.
All right, let's go over some weekend box office. Apes. Anyone see the Apes? I missed them. They looked cool. They came in at number one at $54 million. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Smurfs came in at number two. Dave's movie that he still hasn't seen but won't shut up about. Cowboys and Aliens. And then a really big bomb from Two Funny Men, The Change-Up. Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman. Like,
what do you make of that, Alex?
Tempted,
I mean, that looked like a movie you guys might go
Rotten
see.
Tomatoes?
No, it looked awful. I love those two guys. I think they're funny. That movie looks like something I'll watch hungover on a Sunday on HBO and go, oh, okay.
I thought it looked sort of funny.
It looked mediocre.
Well, a lot of people agreed with you.
Yeah, so there you go. But congratulations to Apes. So let's look for Rising Stronger, Rising Next.
Way to
Rising
go, Apes.
Rising harder. Go, Apes.
They're taking... Listen, we've been warning people for years that the Apes are taking over, for real. No one listens.
Yeah. No, not at all.
And by the way, the original series that many people listening may not even remember that started in the 1960s, I mean, there were something like 7 movies in that series. So, I mean, if you can get it right, get the right combination of people and the right looking apes, there's no reason why this can't be that kind of a franchise that goes on for a long time.
Dude, if we can have Final Destination 5, we can certainly have a sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. You guys ready for a 2.5 Men meat explosion?
Yeah!
So apparently they just shot the season premiere of 2.5 Men. And there are going to be a lot of famous funeral guests at Charlie Sheen's character's funeral, Charlie Harper, RIP. And a meat explosion. Apparently at Charlie Harper's funeral, we're going to see Uncle Jesse, John Stamos, stop by.
All right.
Talk about how they were friends. And then Jenny McCarthy... apparently played one of his ex-girlfriends. I'm sure there were many ex-girlfriends on that show. Yeah.
Does she make funny faces?
Yeah, and she's got boobs. I don't know if you know that. She has boobs and makes wacky faces.
I didn't know that.
That's all she does. Apparently what happens to Charlie Sheen's character is he went away to Paris, got married in Paris, and then his new wife came into the hotel room in Paris and caught him with another woman.
Uh-oh.
As you do on your honeymoon. Sure. And then I guess the next day in Paris on the show, Charlie Sheen's character accidentally slips in a subway and then literally blows apart from the subway in a, quote, meat explosion.
He was a pussy.
Sweet.
So we can all watch that on Monday, September 19th at 9 p.m. on CBS.
If there is not already somebody listening making a band called The Meat Explosion, then I don't know you people anymore.
Let's get with the program, people. The UK's The Daily Star reports that Lady Gaga wants to portray Amy Winehouse on a big screen version.
I can see that.
Apparently, she says, quote, it's the only role for her. Lady Gaga recently co-hosted The View and said she was unable to speak for 2 days after learning of Amy's passing. So, yeah.
That's not a movie. Amy Winehouse's life, I don't think, is a movie.
How dare you? That is a Lifetime TV.
You don't?
TV
because
movie.
She really, really had some highlights in the music days. I mean, when she was doing music, she was huge for a while.
Yeah, I mean, she won 5 Grammys. I mean, she did have her brief moment in the spotlight, but then the whole, the last 89 minutes of the movie is her drinking and drugging herself to death. I don't know.
Well,
maybe
it doesn't have a good ending, if that's what you're saying.
No, yeah, it's sort of like the Titanic. You go in knowing what's going to happen,
I guess.
The cruise was pretty good. The ride was good until the end,
Sure.
So. Coheed and Cambria bassist Mike Todd has officially left the band. I don't know if you guys remember. Last month in Massachusetts, he was arrested for armed robbery. He went to a Walgreens and held it up by claiming he had a bomb. That's Mind you, right. He did all this on his way to the show that they were doing to open for Soundgarden.
Oh, my.
That's right.
So he was on his way to the venue and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I need to go to Walgreens and get some illegal Oxycontin. So I'm going to tell them I have a bomb.
Wow.
But what cracks me up is it took the band a month to officially fire him. In a recent statement on
the... You got to make sure that he's...
Yeah, in a recent statement on the band's blog, they said the decision to part ways was a mutual one, and they wish him nothing but the best. I'm sure you do. Guess how many people watched Jersey Shore premiere? Anyone?
A lot.
All? Try 8.8 million.
Come on with the come 8. On.
8.8 million. It was the largest premiere in MTV's history of any show ever of all time.
Oh. No! No!
Yeah, so there you go. Set your TiVos because you're in good company for sunglasses time. Aw, yeah.
I heard it was, at least the early reports, I don't know if these ended up being the final numbers, is that it was the number one show on television, 18 to 49, during the time slot, including all the networks.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it.
They win all the time. I just actually read a new quote by their executive producer, Sally Ann Salsano, who said, whenever people ask me, is it crude? Are you exploiting them? I'm like, no way. There's no way you could convince me otherwise. This show is a reality version of a John Hughes movie. It's one big coming of age story. So there you go. They don't feel like they're exploiting people, and they're getting 8.8 million to tune in. So congratulations.
Unbelievable.
Happy birthday to Dustin Hoffman, The Edge from U2, tennis champ Roger Federer, Tim Linton from Jimmy Eat World, and apparently Chip put Scott Stapp from Creed on the birthday list. And
yeah.
That cannot be right.
Let's play some Creed.
I'm going to take my pen and cross off that list because that is unnecessary. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Would you rather sleep with a person with an okay body but an awesome face, or an awesome face and an okay... Wait, those are the same things. Or an okay face but an awesome body. That's the question we're going to be asking you 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up. All right. Am I the only one who saw Whisker Wars on IFC over the weekend?
Yes.
I'm guessing yes.
Why am I the only true American? It's the new best show on television, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what you need to know about Whisker Wars.
These are the faces of warriors. They're dedicated, determined, ready for battle. They are America's beardsmen.
My name is...
Okay, now, I get that they're dedicated and they're ready for battle, but aren't they just not shaving? I mean, isn't that the extent of what's involved in competitive bearding?
I can tell you what they're not. America's warriors. That's what they're not.
I can't impress upon you how seriously these bearding champions take their world. I mean, every once in a while we come across something that we go, wow, there are that many people into, there are that many people who take seriously. These are people who are crazy for facial hair.
But, like with the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship in Las Vegas.
Right.
They, you know, they take it seriously, but they also understand how silly it is, and they go along with the spirit of that. That's not the case here.
That is not these people at all. No, this is for reals.
They are America's beardsmen.
My name is Phil Olson. I'm the founder and self-appointed captain of Beard Team USA. The Olympic team has people who ski jump for America or throw shot puts for America. Beard Team USA grows beards for America.
Okay. Now, every single person that we've talked to in the years that we've been doing this show who's involved in one of these, I don't want to call it a sport, but some sort of activity that lies in the fringes, they always compare it to the Olympics. Have you noticed that?
It's
always, well, yeah, that's how such and such started. But now look, it's an Olympic event. These people believe that bearding is the way, and they're just early, and the rest of us will catch up one day.
Can anybody call themselves the official whatever of USA? I mean, can we be the official morning show of USA?
I guess so. I mean, he did self-appoint himself the captain of the team, so I don't
Beard
know. I mean,
Team USA.
That's Phil, who I think we had on the show. I think he's the one that we talked to back when we first found out about the world of competitive bearding.
For decades, the sport of bearding has been dominated by one nation, Germany. Their roster boasts legends like freestyler Willy Chevalier. But with 1 year to the next World Championships in Trondheim, Norway, the upstart American team hopes to stage an upset. This is Whisker Wars.
Our cause is to dethrone Germany and establish the United States as the world superpower in the sport.
Beard Team USA has grown to include over 80 local chapters. But before they can head to Norway, Phil wants to test his team on home turf.
So this episode, episode number one of Whisker Wars on IFC, is all about a national bearding championship that they're having in, I think it was in San Francisco. I think they had it there. You know, they're just trying to get, you know, find out who their strengths are, who's going to be on the bench, who's going to be, you know, starting when they get to the international competition.
First of all, F Germany. Second of all, how is this a sport? How do they use the word sport?
Look, we're not buying that golf is a sport. We're right. Certainly not buying that bearding is a sport, okay?
What do they do in this competition?
Well, you'll find
out. They walk a runway or something? Or?
You'll find out later on all the different ways that beards are judged. Okay. But I want to introduce you to Jack Passion, who is a giant in the sport. He's probably the face of bearding right now, Kevin. And in fact, I'm very excited to tell you that Jack Passion, Mr. Passion, is going to be joining us in studio on Monday. We will have him 1 week from today.
We have the face of bearding in studio?
We do. Here's what you need to know about Jack.
I'm Jack Passion, world champion of beards.
With wins in 2007 and 2009, Passion shocked the world by becoming the first American to take gold in the full beard natural category.
Yes, they do have a gold medal for bearding, ladies and gentlemen. And he shocked the world. It's not that he went over there and won it and the 30 people in attendance were impressed. He shocked the world, apparently. People are still talking about that time Jack Passion went over there and won, right?
I remember where I was in 2007.
Oh, that's something you never forget.
Full beard natural is the equivalent of the marathon in the Olympics, where some of the other categories would be the equivalent of synchronized diving.
Now, Passion has plans to go pro.
I've gained this fame, if that's what you want to call it, and I'm now moving to the next stage, which is turning that into profit. And
okay, so what Jack's plan is it's not enough that he wins gold medals and is recognized for having a bitchin' beard. He wants to make a living, and I do sense that there's some frustration from him that he's not able to make that his full-time job, just being a guy with a beard. Look,
that's so bizarre.
How wrapped up in your beard can you be?
Let's say you have the best beard ever. It's still just a beard.
Yeah. It's still just a beard. Right? Well, Jack will surprise you. He has found one way to make money.
That's typically the move from amateur to professional. Coming out with products, most notably the Facial Hair Handbook.
Okay, now he has a book called the Facial Hair Handbook. That apparently is selling. I guess he has sold some copies of it. What do you need to know to grow a beard? Isn't the book, you open up page one, it says don't shave, you close the book and you're done?
I can't imagine.
There's probably some grooming tips in there. But other than that, I don't have any idea.
And maybe some products. There's some recommended supplements or products or some combing tips or something. Is it a book? Do you need a facial hair handbook book? But apparently, Kevin, because he's the guy who has written this book, you know, this is like the first skateboarder. You know, when it used to just be kids, you know, people were like, everybody, hey, this is cool. Then the first skateboarder goes out there and, you know, gets an endorsement or gets paid to show up. And all of a sudden he's a sellout and he's a traitor and he's bringing the sport down. And that's what's happening to Jack, because he had the nerve to write a book and spill bearding secrets. Now he's a little bit on the outside looking in. It's got to be very difficult for him.
It's kind of like the cornerstone of my beard empire. I kind of liken it to the beginnings of snowboarding. A bunch of surfers tried to surf down a hill and all these skiers made fun of them. Now snowboarding is an Olympic sport. The moniker World Beard Champion is my title, is my qualifications when I'm seeking out these endorsements. That name is Jack Passion, World Beard Champion. It's not Jack Passion, awesome guy with a beard.
Right, let's not be confused here about what we're talking about. I'm not just an awesome guy with a beard. I'm a world champion of bearding, Jack Passion. Well, we have so much more. I think you want to save some more of this for tomorrow. Should we turn this into a two-parter? Because honestly, you haven't even heard yet from the Texas Beard chapter, and they are very, very interesting.
I want to take a break and come back and hear what's going on.
No, I can't wait. You want to hear it now?
Must.
Because I do have the story about Willie Chevalier, whose bearding career was almost ended by a tragic power tool accident. I also have that story. If you want to hear about that.
He accidentally shaved?
Well, something like that. And I can introduce you to the man who's growing a beard because he thinks it's time we put beards back in politics. He wants to run for office because he's got a beard.
must continue now.
All right, I can't believe it. There are very few two-parters on the Kevin and Bean Show, but more from the world of competitive bearding. Whisker Wars highlights after this on the Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Dave, the King of Mexico, are in Chicago. They saw Lollapalooza over the weekend. You can get an entire recap of that at kevinandbean.com. And I guess coming up in about 10 minutes or so, you're going to tell this story about how you ended up with mud in your butthole?
That's correct.
Are you sure it was mud?
I'm positive.
You're positive. All right. So that's coming up. Apparently it was pretty rainy yesterday during Foo Fighters. So that sounds like fun. And you lost a shoe, and I don't know what the hell else is going on.
But it was ugly.
First, though, part two of our exclusive coverage of IFC's Whisker Wars. This is a new show on the Independent Film Channel that debuted this past week. And this is about the very intense world of competitive bearding. And you guys were wondering what's involved in bearding. Of course, this show was leading up to the nationals that were held. And in case you're wondering what the judges look for, here's a tip for you.
The judges will score each beard on its quality, size, color, and presentation.
Okay, now, I've heard the first three make sense. I get that. The quality of the beard, you know, how good is the hair, and then the size, I understand, because, you know, these people grow the crazy mustaches that are like a foot out from either side of their face and whatnot. And then whatever the color, I guess, the other one, depending on how it looks. I never understood what presentation was about until I saw this competition and see some of the things do. They dress up in crazy costumes. There's this one guy that comes out, and he had a pretty good beard, but then he rips his shirt off, and he's just as hairy on the whole rest of his body.
Oh, no.
I mean, I was like a Bigfoot sighting up there on stage.
Is it like people standing in front of the American Idol judges? Is it a runway? How do they?
Yeah, they play to the crowd. So they go out on stage and they face the crowd so the crowd can ooh and ah at their beard. And then they turn around and then there's a panel of judges that can take a closer look and they go up and actually touch the beard and feel it. Miss Oregon was one of the judges in this competition because it was held in Bend. So let's find out more about what they're looking for.
The competitors have been divided into four categories: mustache, partial beard, full beard, and freestyle.
Freestyle.
Those people have no rules. They go crazy.
They do. And those are the ones you see that are walking around, and you've seen pictures of these guys occasionally on the news, and they look like they have an octopus falling off their face. Those are those people with just crazy hair off in every direction. All right. This introductory episode of Whisker Wars gives us an opportunity to meet the various competitive beardsmen around the country. Here's a little bit about the Texas chapter, and I think you'll enjoy this guy from Austin very much.
There's a chapter in Austin, Texas called the Austin Facial Hair Club. Some fantastic beards. There's Brian Nelson, who they consider their star.
My beard often gets in the way. I get it caught in my zipper. They caught in my pants.
What?
The goat, get it caught in the goat's horns.
Right. What? How? His beard is so long that he gets it caught in the zipper of his pants sometimes. And he gets it caught in his goat's horns when he's hanging out with his goat. This is our man Brian Nelson, and he's a superstar in the sport, Kevin. However,
are we talking about a ball throw?
No. This is from his face. This is a beard from his face. I have no idea what's going on down there. Now, Jack Passion, who I introduced you to last, he has a little bit of a feud going on with Brian Nelson. This is Yankees Red Sox, man. These kids do not like each other at all. And I think you can tell the war of the worlds that's happening between these two.
It has been said that I'm the Muhammad Ali of beards.
All right, now this is our man Jack Passion, okay? This is Jack Pasha, the guy who's coming in on the Kevin and Bean Show on Monday. And he, like I told you, he's like that Billy guy in the King of Kong's Donkey Kong documentary. He's the one that everybody wants to bring down. And even other competitive Donkey Kong players hate that dude because he's so mouthy. That's what Jack Pasha is like in the world of bearding. So he's the Muhammad Ali of beardsmen.
Beards. I talk a lot of trash and I rhyme a lot and I have a lot to say. But just like the champ once said, it's not bragging if you can back it up.
Jack's boasting doesn't go unnoticed.
There was some talking that was coming from the beard attached to the mouth of Jack Passion in front of Brian Nelson's image.
Okay, now Brian Nelson's
didn't.
This bearding event was happening at a gallery in New York that featured portraits of all of the great beardsmen across the country, okay? So Jack Passion goes and stands in front of Brian Nelson's portrait and starts talking all that smack. So Brian's people, the people from the Austin Beard chapter, they're calling back and telling everybody back in Austin what this dude is saying about him. I mean, these are fighting words. It's really going off.
A phone call had to be made.
One prick is sending everything I say to those guys back at home, and they're
and children.
Those guys have epic beards, you know? They're no joke. They're Texas boys with big-ass beards.
They're impersonating me on Twitter.
Last time I checked, Muhammad Ali didn't win all his fights.
I think you can tell it is on.
Whoa. It is on.
All right, we only have time for a couple more. I promise you the story of Willie Chevalier. He has really overcome a lot to be as competitive a bearder as he is.
In 2003, a tragic power drill accident nearly ended Chevalier's career.
Now, Willie Chevalier, he is German, so he only speaks German, and they do translate. And what happened is, they didn't give too many details about how, but apparently he had some sort of a power drill that got away from him and went through his cheek, okay?
Oh!
They had to shave 2/3 of his beard off in surgery to repair, to reconstruct his face from the injury.
You think he was fighting him and they had to put him out? Knock him out. We need to give him a shot.
I absolutely do. And I'm telling you what, when you see the interview with Mr. Chevalier, he couldn't care less about having a power drill going through his face. He was so devastated that they cut his beard off, wondering if he was ever going to be able to grow it back right and enter the, you know, re-enter the competitive world of bearding. But thank God, this is like a guy who breaks both of his legs and still goes on to play hockey. You know what I mean? It's like it's a miracle he's still out there and he is back.
But after a miraculous recovery, Willie Chevalier is back.
He is back and he is a strong, strong competitor. And I don't want to give away who won the U.S. Nationals.
No.
Featured in IFC Whisker Wars. But let me just say that Willie Chevalier is back and he is ready to compete. So it's all hell is breaking loose in the world of competitive bearding. I have no idea what's going to happen in the internationals.
Is this a weekly series? Is it a one-time thing leading up to the international?
It is a weekly series that will conclude with Trondheim, Norway for the international bearding competition.
Sweet.
Yes.
And us trying to unseat the Germans.
All I know is that Jack Passion is going to be here on Monday. I've rarely been as excited about a guest as I am about this man. So there you go. Whisker Wars on IFC. We'll be right back and talk about Kevin having mud in his butt right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Kevin and Dave, the King of Mexico in Chicago. So let me get this straight. Because of Muse being at LA Rising and then Muse being at Lollapalooza, you saw Muse twice in a week, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And this weekend, you and Dave saw Foo Fighters twice in one weekend. You saw them on Saturday and you saw them on Sunday?
Well, Dave saw them on Saturday while I was wandering the streets lost, drunk.
Oh, he was at the club show. He went to the club show at the Metro. You did not make it to that.
Correct. I wish I would have.
How could you have missed the Foo Fighters at a
club?
Dude,
I'm not kidding. An hour in, I had to sit down and go, wow, everything's spinning. I don't know where I am. Like, I was starting to get worried.
Did you know the name of your hotel?
Yes.
Then why didn't you just get a cab?
Getting cabs here, there was 90,000 people a day.
Well,
so getting cabs anywhere around Grant Park, impossible, unless you're a hot chick. And
right,
I'm not.
Right. Yeah. So you missed the Saturday, but Sunday, Foos, they close out the Lollapalooza weekend?
Yes. First, what happened Sunday afternoon was a massive downpour. I mean, it rained hard. And I was hiding in a tent, so I was able to avoid it. But it turned literally, Grant Park's about a mile long, and about 50% of it was standing water mud.
Oh.
Not just mud, but standing water on top of the mud.
Oh, my God.
So I thought to myself, you know what? I'm dry. This is cool. I started walking around. But once you start walking around, your feet start sinking into the mud.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, I was walking to the radio station in my socks.
you just leave your shoes somewhere?
My shoes literally were 1,000% mud. I mean, I'm not even bringing them back. I'm not even bringing them home. It's just not even worth it. So you start walking around and you see all these people diving and jumping in the mud and stuff. And go to KevinandBean.com. I shot a bunch of video of the people who were enjoying the mud. And I got to tell you, and I at first I thought, wow, I would never want to do that. And then once you get covered, you just go, what the F? Might as well just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you can't get any dirtier than you already are, so why not have fun with it, right?
Right. So there are several places, and I put up a YouTube video that you can see at KevinandBean.com, day 3. Just click on it, and you can see people diving and jumping and rolling around in the mud, 100% covered in the mud.
And I thought that looked funny. And then I was getting dirtier and dirtier as the day went along, and my feet kept sinking in, and I lost my shoe like three times. Like, I would take a step and I would go in almost to my knee and pull my foot out, and my foot would come out of my shoe. So then I would have to like start digging in the mud. It was miserable. But once you made peace with the fact that you're completely a mud case, you just thought, who cares now?
Right.
What's the difference? So I stayed for Foo Fighters. They closed out the night, and it stopped raining for, I don't know, maybe an hour, hour and a half, but it was still pretty muddy. And I realized that the giant mud holes people were avoiding up near the front of the stage of the Foo Fighters. And I thought, what the hell? I'm already covered in mud. Why not get up close to the stage, and I'll just stand in the mud. Who cares? What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it rained really hard again while they were doing My Hero. And you can see in the picture, I took a couple of pictures. I was maybe 30 or 40 feet from the stage. I couldn't see the band. It was raining so hard.
Oh, my God.
And now I've never been more wet. I was more wet than I have ever been in a shower or a bath or in a swimming pool. I was soaked. And I was mud covered. And right during My Hero, just blindsided, I got knocked over. Didn't see the guy coming. didn't notice what was happening around me. I was just trying desperately to see the stage. And now I'm laying in mud, like a mud bath, completely covered in mud. And I thought, I'm relatively sure that the mud got into my shorts. I mean, literally just... I'm really worried about this, but I think I actually had mud in my butt. I was like, and by mud, I mean, let me just clarify. I meant, you mean water mud. And dirt.
Right.
Water
right,
and dirt.
Right. Actual right. mud. Right.
In my beehole. Yeah. I think that happens.
Yeah. That's, nobody wants that.
So I watched the rest of the Foo Fighters with mud butt. And then I walked real, slogged through in my shoes now all the way back to the hotel, which was, of course, only three blocks away, which I got lost earlier. And went and took a shower, and I realized I did indeed have a lot of mud, a lot of mud.
That's fantastic.
In my beehole. That happened. And I thought maybe that should be the name of my autobiography. Is how did this mud get in my beehole?
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not good for you.
You can check out the photo galleries. You'll either wish you were there or be glad you're not there, depending on what type of person you are. But that's all available at Kevin.
But watch the video. Go to day three, click on it, and watch the video of the people enjoying the mud. It is it's fun times. That's what I'm talking about.
In for Ralph Garman today on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's us, Kevin and Bean, with a look at the show biz beat. You know, we are getting dangerously close to the start of the new fall season. I mean, it's already August, so new shows are going to be rolling out here pretty soon. And one of the most anticipated shows of the fall is Simon Cowell's The X Factor. He's been given a lot of interviews. He talked to the Hollywood... He talked to the Hollywood Press Association's Critics Tour and said that he is trying to get Mariah Carey to become a mentor on his upcoming series. And she's crazy, right? So that makes for good television, right?
Way crazy.
In case you're wondering, the show is going to be debuting over two nights, September 21st and September 22nd. Live performances on the show are set to begin with the November TV sweeps. The finale is going to be right before Christmas. And he has made one adjustment to the prize, by the way. Remember when we talked to Simon Cowell and he told us that you got a $5 million prize?
Right.
And we thought, well, that's the value of the recording contract and the money that they are going to put into your recording your album and making your video and sponsoring a tour and all that kind of stuff. He says, no, you get $5 million cash and we're going to take care of the recording expenses and whatnot.
Nice.
$5 million cash is one of your prizes if you win X Factor. The winner will also star in one of Pepsi's commercials during the Super Bowl. So, I mean.
Wow.
This is, they're handing you a career. If you've got any kind of talent, you should be able to make something with that kickoff, right? But, a lot of people, and I'm one of them, said, I don't need anything else after American Idol, and certainly not now that The Voice is here. Who needs another show like this? But Simon Cowell is making it sound like, and he's a master promotion person, but he's making it sound like it is going to be different. It's going to be better. So I guess we'll have to wait until September to find out.
Pete, I know how much you like the Jersey Shore peeps. Mike, the Situation Sorrentino. According to TMZ.com, has a new job. He's going to be the new face of a tanning salon business.
Of course he is.
He will receive a six-figure paycheck.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, is over $100,000.
God, I hate this.
Yes, yes. And who knows? It could be $800,000. We have no idea how much it is, but it's a lot of money for doing very little, I'm sure.
He also has a piece of the company, and they're going to open a bunch of new places in Jersey. So perhaps he'll make millions off of that.
Oh, my God.
So that's happening.
Yeah, and as we were talking about earlier, the Jersey Shore, you know, you think it's people must be tired of it by now. It not only had the best premiere numbers ever for Jersey Shore when it debuted last week, it was the best premiere numbers in the history of MTV for any show they've ever had. Yep. That's how big that show is. Almost 9 million people tuned in for the Jersey Shore. Like, when is this going to end? I mean, I know that they've already said there's this season in Italy, and then there's another season at the shore, and then that's it. They're not going to be anymore. But if these numbers keep up, as much as MTV talks about how they want to replace them all and start with new kids, they're not going to want to let this go. They're going to hang on to this as long as they can, right?
Yeah, and they'll pay them a lot more to do it.
Right, exactly. While we're talking about celebrities making big money for doing very, very little, Kim Kardashian, as you know, is a product machine. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, well, true. It's unbelievable the amount of money she's making. Her television show is a smash hit. I can't imagine why, but she's involved in so many different kind of products. She makes tens of thousands of dollars just for tweeting about things that she doesn't even have anything to do with. Well, she came up with a new fragrance called Love. She only made, how many? She only made 1,000 bottles of Love. 200 she gave away to guests at her bridal shower. One is for her, and the remaining 799 were sold at Kim Kardashian's website for $100 a bottle.
What?
So that's 80 grand right there just for selling, you know, just in one day, just for putting your perfume and selling them out like that. That's $80,000 right there, right?
That's crazy. And she, you know, she'll make more.
The perfume bottle is finished with platinum and covered with 450 hand-laid stones. Each limited edition bottle was also numbered and signed by Kim herself. So all of that money is in pure profit. There had to be a certain amount that was put into making the bottles of perfume. But once you get to a certain level, I guess it's just like, I mean, it's like printing money. Yeah. Every idea you come up with is another way for you to make money. And Kim Kardashian is famous for what again?
Sex tape?
Sex tape.
Sex tape, that's right.
And being hot.
Yeah. So if there are hot ladies out there listening who are trying to figure out a way to make it in this world, may I suggest continue to be hot and make a sex tape. And then you, too, can make $80,000 in a day by selling your perfume.
Odd.
Jessica Simpson hopefully is pregnant because the UK's Daily Mail, well, I say hopefully is pregnant, but she should not reproduce.
No, but, I was wondering why you were saying that.
Well, because the UK's Daily Mail keeps running pictures of her wearing loose-fitting dresses and saying with big headlines, is Jessica Simpson pregnant? And I can't, if you're a woman and you've gained a little weight and you're wearing clothing that's a little looser, I can't imagine anything worse than the press splashing photos of you and saying, is she pregnant if you're not?
No, it's brutal.
Because that just means you're fat.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And that sucks.
The only good news is at least she has a little bit of time before she has to explain why she's so big. Because if people think she's pregnant, she gets a little bit of an excuse at least.
Right.
Rather than just coming out and saying she's fat from the start. So she at least has time to lose it. She was once very, very hot, by the way, Jessica Simpson.
She was.
Of course.
I don't know what happened to her. And one more story, and I love this so much. You know, we have been talking the last few weeks about what a shock it was that 007 Daniel Craig, who plays James Bond in the movies, that he married his co-star, Rachel Weisz, on this film Dream House that they were doing. Remember, it was just a shock to us. I mean, we knew that they were making a movie together. There was never any indication in the press that they were romantic, that they were dating. He had a live-in girlfriend back home. Listen to what it was like for her, Lisa. You'll love this. Your boyfriend is Daniel Craig, and he says, I got to leave. I'm going to make this movie, so I'll be back soon. He never comes back. He doesn't answer any of your texts. He doesn't answer any of your emails. He doesn't return any of your calls. Nothing. Then you find out that he has married Rachel Weisz in the press.
Oh, my God.
He just left his life behind and just was gone and married another woman. So she got a little bit of revenge by racking up more than $1 million in charges on his credit cards, which apparently he was very generous with and gave her access to.
Oh, my God.
Well, I gotta tell you, I don't blame her. I would be so unbelievably angry.
That's crazy.
It's humiliating.
That's crazy.
Like, couldn't even break up with her?
We make fun of people who break up by text or through email.
Or a
you know what
fax.
I mean?
Right.
But at least they hear from him.
Right, exactly.
Jeez.
In other words, breaking up by text would have been better than
yes.
what he put her through. She found out in the press that he was married to another woman.
Oh, wow. My God.
Real quick, before we wrap it up for this hour, Rise of the Planet of the Apes was your big box office winner. Shocking to everybody, $54 million at the box office, so you can rest assured there will be another one. Then the Smurfs, Cowboys and Aliens, the change-up with a disappointing fourth-place debut at $13.5 million, and Captain America was number five. You got celebrity birthdays there, Kevin?
I do not.
How about J.C. Chazay? Shazay from NSYNC, celebrating a birthday today, as is former 98 Degrees member Drew Lachey. They are both 35 years old today. Dustin Hoffman, Academy Award winning actor, is 74. The Edge from U2 turns 50. It's funny, we were talking about Scott Stapp from Creed, who's only 37, by the way.
Oh, what?
Really?
Didn't we do the world's smallest breakfast with
yes.
on the Kevin and Bean Show with Creed?
Yeah.
Didn't we give away one ticket to that for somebody to come down and watch Creed perform in our
right.
studio? Remember
that's
that?
That's right. Yeah, and we had trouble getting people that wanted to.
And Howard Stern co-host Robin Quivers turns 59 today, which I bring up so white women can feel bad, because how awesome does she look at 59? Because, in fact, it's true that black don't crack.
Yeah.
So, well done. And that is the Showbiz Beat. Harvey Danger headlined which night of Lollapalooza? I didn't hear much about them.
Thursday. They were the only band Thursday, but right. they went on 11 a.m., so it was a little weird.
And it was in Iowa City, so that
correct.
Was weird, too. All right, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. Big, big week straight ahead, including our friend Kevin Smith in studio. You know, we've been hearing about this movie he made called Red State, co-starring our own Ralph Garman. He'll be in telling you how you can finally see it. That'll be on Wednesday. Also, comedian Eddie Ift on the show tomorrow. Later in the week, Adam Carolla, Nick Swardson from 30 Minutes or Less. Dave Koechner is going to be on the show. He's in that Final Destination 5. Penn Jillette. I mean, there's so much stuff coming up. And Paramore. On Wednesday as well, by the way. Haley, Jeremy, and Taylor in studio from the band Paramore coming up
right.
here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, we got an email that I thought was interesting and perhaps worth a discussion. We reached out to Psycho Mike. He was unavailable today because, well, you know, Rich Mike doesn't get up early. Poor Mike would have been happy to be on the Kevin and Bean Show with us. Rich Mike got no time for us.
Poor Mike would have been at the studio at 4 a.m.
That's right. Dear Kevin and Bean, the email begins from our friend Mario. I am emailing Bean on this because Kevin will probably not read this for a year. I just heard Psycho Mike on Loveline saying that he would choose having sex with a hot-faced fat girl rather than a rocking body butterface. I can't decide on this. I think that I would prefer the butterface, but I'm curious, and I'd like to get your opinion of you guys on the show. What do you think, Mario?
Those are the only options, though. You can't have both.
Well, what?
Not
you want to know if
this particular night in this particular
you right. want to know if there's any way you could have an ugly fat chick? Is that what you're asking for here?
No, I'm saying can you have a hot... Oh, never mind.
Hot-faced fat girl over rockin' body butterface. What do you guys think?
I'm all about face. That's my deal. Eyes... Oh. Eyes,
right.
face.
Yeah.
That's what I'm attracted
that's
to.
That's what turns you on.
So I would choose face. But that also depends on, I mean, you got to put some parameters on this. Are we talking about two bills? Are we talking about three bills?
No.
Are we talking about four bills?
We're not going giant obese.
Okay. All right.
How fat can the girl be if her face is gorgeous? I mean, if she's stunning from the neck
right.
up, how fat will you allow her to be from the neck down?
Yeah, think like plus size model.
All right, are we... Now, this is just for one night, right? This is not a relationship.
It doesn't say, but for the purpose of
difference.
This conversation, yeah. we. Yeah, you're not married her, if that's what you're asking.
I'll go
yeah.
a lot bigger if it's not a relationship.
So maybe 200 if it's just 2 hours, but... No,
right.
Yeah, I understand. I got you. I mean, what's a plus size model, Lisa?
Like,
you're talking
say,
about...
You know, let's say they could be a 14 or 16, size 14 or 16 probably tops.
See, I don't even think that's that fat, to tell you the truth.
No,
what about
just,
like Adele, for example?
Adele.
She's
would definitely
bigger.
Qualify.
She's bigger, but she's got a pretty face.
Fatty,
I think.
Yeah.
Fatty?
She's a great example. Yeah.
Adele is a perfect example. And I would so hit that, by the way. But I don't even consider her fat. When I read Hot Face Fat Girl, I thought, you are uncomfortable with how heavy this woman is. And by the way, I don't know if it works the same way for girls, Lisa. I'll ask you in a minute. Maybe it does. I mean, I don't know if you have the same kind of, you know, criteria. But I'm thinking she would have to be fat enough that I would be uncomfortable with it, but it would be outweighed by how beautiful her face was. So Adele doesn't even qualify for me because she's not nearly fat enough.
Yeah.
For it to be an issue with me.
Right. But if she was fatter, I mean, how high are you face to be?
I'm
good
both.
Face.
Yeah, I think I'm. I mean, I think I'm both. I think Adele is very, very pretty, and I don't find her body objectionable either. So that's why I'm saying, for me anyway, I would not be faced with any kind of a dilemma. For me, I see Adele, and I'm on. You know,
all right.
What, I mean?
what you're on? What about Little Precious from? What about Little Precious?
Well,
from Glee.
Now, Little Precious, another good example, Kevin. She is, I think, too fat for me.
Okay.
But her face isn't pretty enough for me to make the leap.
Okay.
Right.
But if her face was pretty enough,
if
you'd
her face
be fine.
I don't know. I think she may be too fat even for a really pretty face, to tell you.
Really?
I do. For me, anyway. What about the other side? I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, if
for
she's...
Dying?
No. Before we get to that, if she's butt ugly,
but great
she's
body.
But she's got an unbelievably smoking body. Does that work for anybody?
Yeah.
What about
of course.
You? What about you, Beer Mug? You look like you've made a lot of bad choices in your life.
Absolutely, I think it's easier to get over an unattractive face than an unattractive body.
Oh, really? So you're kind of the opposite of where Kevin's coming from?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely, because I mean, you could. Totally just cover up her face, you know?
Well, so you're just not going to face her the whole
with
time?
With a pillow
right,
or
with a bag? Or something.
Put a bag on it? No, you can't put a bag on her face. That's not part of it.
Well, okay, well.
And you're going to kiss her. You are going to kiss her.
If it's a one-night stand, there's no kissing involved.
She's not a hooker.
What?
You actually will kiss her.
Okay, by the way, we will take your telephone calls if you want to weigh in on this, because Beer Mug is bringing up some interesting points here. If you want to call and weigh in on this, at 1-800-520-1067. So her face is beat, but her body is amazing. You're down with that.
Yeah, right? I can work with that.
You can still be attracted to her just neck down?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You just turn the lights off as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And then picture someone else.
There it is.
I never get from the bar to the bedroom if I wasn't attracted to his face. It just would never happen.
Even if he had a great body?
No.
It's the face.
Yeah.
Interesting. Dave brings up, what about Lady Gaga as a perfect example of somebody who has a very average face, but some people consider she's got a pretty good body?
By the way, very average face is being kind.
Yeah, she's really
come
plain.
On. She's hideous.
Is she super homely in your opinion?
No, that's a deal breaker.
Stuff off her. Yeah,
I don't want to have sex with anyone that wore meat. You know, I mean, I draw the line at meat.
So this is a debate at all with women, Lisa? I mean, is this a conversation that you've ever had where somebody said, "Yeah, he wasn't that good looking, but man, he was built." Are most girls face girls?
That's a tough one. I don't think we probably all split one way or the other either, but I would imagine more women are face girls than aren't. But I'm sure a lot of women stay with guys because they have such hot bodies, even after they know that
it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's
or whatever.
Not going to work. Yeah, that right. kind of thing. But I would imagine more women are a lot more forgiving of the body. Just in
right.
general, we know that.
It's funny that you would say that. It's funny you would say that's true. It's funny you would say that though, Lisa, because all of us on this show have gone face, except for Mugs, face over body, I think.
Yeah, you have, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, we're just lying to make ourselves
probably.
Look good.
But then Mugs, he's like a crazy man. He's the one who's like, oh no, she's got to have a hot body.
See,
what is that about?
What you guys are failing to take into consideration is that fat also surrounds the face.
Right, but if it's a pretty face, see, I'm an eye guy. I love eyes.
Yeah.
So if you have eyes that are beautiful, the fat face doesn't even bother me that much.
And it's right, not like right. it's encased in fat where you can barely make out what it used to look
I mean,
like.
Again, if she's 500 pounds, you can't see her eyes.
Right.
I'm out.
Right. I mean, if you met her because they were cutting a wall out of her home to get her out of her apartment, then maybe it doesn't matter how pretty she is. That's what you're saying.
Right.
All right. Well, we have more discussion on this topic. We want to hear from you two.
I got a perfect person, Sarah Jessica Parker.
There. Oh, okay.
Right?
That is a good example.
Pretty decent body.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
horse
woo,
face.
Yeah. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. Horse face.
I'd
yeah.
still hit it. I'd still hit it.
You would.
I'd still hit it. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. Listener Mario is wondering. He doesn't know what to do. Hot face, fat girl, rockin' buddy, butterface. And, well, of course, we'll take the same discussion in the other way, girls and guys, too. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next right here on the Kevin. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Jonas. You can fix fat, but you can't fix ugly. The end. Well, he kind of sums it up. We were talking about the discussion. The listener was asking about butterface, but great body, or fat body, but pretty face. Which do you prefer? 1-800-520-1067. That is the topic. Interesting how many calls we have on this with people who have policies, like Scott on line 8.
Policies.
Hey, Scott. They have policies. They got a plan. They got it written down.
Wow.
They got a system. Hey, Scott, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you do, man?
Hey, how are you guys today?
Hi.
We are good.
Good. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just got to say, I mean, usually I'm right on track with you guys, but today I'm not on board. I
think you're all about body?
You guys asked Beer Mug, and he put it right. You know, just the body is where it's at. And I've had some girls where they've had, like, a facial issue a little bit here and there, and as soon as you turn off the lights... Everything's all good. As long as their body is a 10, you know, then the face doesn't really matter once the light's
on. The body's a 10, okay, but we're talking like, you know, the body's an 8 and the face
is
a 5. I mean, we're talking.
Bodies are, yeah.
Yeah, relative. I mean, it can't be a perfect body. If it's a perfect body, we'd probably all go for that.
Yeah, but then you also got to look at the crush factor. I mean, if you're sitting underneath something big.
That
was much fun.
Okay. Now, Scott, you sound like a real ladies' man. Are you talking about, is your policy in effect for just one-night stands, or are you talking about with girlfriends also?
I mean, one-night stands mostly, because who wants to come around with a girl that nobody else thinks is hot?
Sure.
But as long as you find, you know, a happy medium for a girlfriend, then that's when you're hanging good. But I can't get over the, like, 180, 200 pound mark.
Yeah.
For me, so, I love to work out. I'm an athlete, and it's just something that I.
All right. What about the other direction, where the body's too skinny but the face is hot? And I have an example. Keira Knightley.
Oh, God, to me, she's so thin.
To me, she's pretty, but she's got you know, edges. she would hurt you.
She would hurt you.
her sharp hips are sometimes an issue. Yes.
All right.
Okay, Scott. Right, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one.
Let's try Ryan. Ryan's got an example of somebody he wants to discuss on line 6. Hey, Ryan, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Well, I'd have to say a perfect example for this would have to be Kelly Clarkson.
Okay.
You know, she started off, you know, American Idol way back when. You know, she was a little chunky. They're like, oh, you got to get on the show. And Simon was truthful. He's like, oh, you got to lose about 40, 50 pounds, and you'll be all right. So, but like you said, like the email said, you can't fix ugly, but you can fix fat.
Yeah.
If you put in the time and effort, we all know a lot of the little bit bigger girls have a really pretty face, and that's only going to go towards a really nice body.
Right, but see, what you're thinking about is the continuation of if I'm going to be with her for a while. We're just talking about one night.
Well, then if it's just one night, you know, bigger chicks tend to do a little bit more freakier things.
They just try harder.
I don't ever want to sleep with a guy again after this conversation.
They do more stuff, right, Lisa?
They do.
We've discussed before. You know,
well, they learn tricks. They learn tricks because they have to.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go the other direction. Well, it's a woman calling. Allison on line 4. We were wondering if it's different for girls. Allison, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Allison. What do you say?
So I'm a face person for sure because, again, you have to kiss them.
Yeah.
During the thing, and I mean
during the thing,
the thing,
little
and
personal
the
thing, little personal thing. I swing with
okay.
my partner, so
sweet.
We do this a lot. And I've seen rocking bodies, but they got the jank mouth and like the eyes going.
Yeah, nobody likes a jank mouth
and the bonkers eyes.
I was like, God, he's hot, but I can't.
So you can't. So even though the body is great and you think, man, that would feel good, you just can't get past. He's a Cincinnati Bengals, right? Great uniform,
yeah,
terrible helmet.
And And he's got the package going down to his knees kind of action. And I'm like, no, no.
Still no.
Wow.
Still
no. How about that? How about that?
Yeah, but you know, it's weird. On the flip side, I'm a body for girls.
So like, better body.
Yeah, they can have an ugly face, but if their body. Really? There's something that happens when you.
But you kiss them too.
Yeah, but.
Well, how's that different?
I'm not as hard on girls because they're a little bit more sensitive. And
well, girls are better in every way. We know that.
I don't have to look at their face when I'm going down on them, all right?
Okay, you know what? Actually,
hey,
all
right.
Go there,
I didn't realize we could go that far with this conversation. Fantastic.
Thank you for the call. Beer Mug, I hope you got out a delay on that for
yeah,
us, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
All right.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Monday means TMZ.com on the show. Harvey, too busy for the little people. Dax Holt joins us from the TMZ newsroom. Hey, Dax, how are you, man?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Very good.
Great to talk to you. By the way, I know we got some stuff we want to talk about that's new to TMZ, but I just wanted to ask you if you have an opinion or any more information on this. I was watching the Nicki Minaj show the other day, the Nicki Minaj concert on ABC's Good Morning America with the famous nip slip.
Okay.
By the way, one of the best nip slips I've ever seen on network television. I so give it up for that girl.
Right, on live TV. I love it.
Live TV. Kevin, did you see it? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't see it.
She's performing on Friday, and I mean, her whole boob doesn't come out, but her boob well past the nipple comes out while she's dancing and singing, right?
Like a really, really low-cut like tank top and no bra.
And
all
right.
What else do you really expect? She's jumping around on stage. Of course a boob's going to fly out.
All right.
It was fantastic, and I don't even care that much about Nicki Minaj, but I enjoyed it so much. But my question is for you. I remember all the hoopla, and granted, it was the Super Bowl, so it was a little bit different with Janet Jackson. But where are all the parents' groups? Are they outraged and up in arms and threatening a boycott, and the FCC's investigating and blah, blah, blah? Or is it just now we're kind of over that, and it's not that big a deal anymore?
No, well, the Parents Television Council actually was like, oh, ABC, you need to have a five-second delay. What are you guys doing? What are you thinking? You're just going to apologize one more time. And ABC came back, they're like, yeah, we've got a five-second delay. Look, we've got, you know, there's people that don't push buttons fast enough. Sorry, move along with life here. And, you know, they apologize, but, I mean, really, come on. They can't be that on top of it. That they didn't know there was a boob popping out. And when you watch the live feed, it's not as good as the photos, because the photos really got the boob hanging out. And when you're watching TV, you're like, is that a nipple? I can't tell. You know, and you kind of want to rewind the DVR and check it out again.
Yes, I do. I very much do. So, in other words, this is just going to evaporate. This isn't going to turn into a thing that somehow is going to end up making Kevin and Bean not be allowed to take live phone calls or anything like that, right?
I don't think so. I think most people have moved on. Kelly Rowland had a nip slip this weekend, too.
I want to see that one, too. It's great world we live in. All right, let's move on to today on TMZ.com and what you'll be talking about the TV show tonight. You got some new Kanye West information. What's going on?
You guys have to look at this. This is on the top of our website right now. But he was over in England doing a concert. And you know how he'll be in the middle of singing, and then he just stops down and has to talk for like 10 minutes. Everyone's like, shut up, Kanye, just sing.
Yeah, he goes on a rant for a little while about how great he is usually.
Yeah, and that's what he did. And he decided to compare himself to Adolf Hitler and Michael Jordan.
Okay, in what way?
He said that people don't understand him. They feel like he is misunderstood, and so people look at him like he is Hitler because he's insane.
Oh, okay, so he's saying people think he's that bad.
Yes,
that when they see him coming, they go, oh, my God, that's the worst person on the planet.
Exactly.
What was the Michael Jordan part, though?
But then changes around and says, look, Michael Jordan, you know, changed the world of basketball, and I am changing the world of music.
Okay. You know what's going on here, and I'm no psychologist. What's going on here is that he has a tremendous ego, but he is in conflict with himself about how other people view him. He knows that he's awesome. He doesn't think other people think he's as awesome as he does, and that's why he's always having these breakdowns, because of the way, you know, everything is a perceived slight to him because he thinks he's Jesus.
Well, he also says that some of it's an act, that these, you know, ego and the things he says is part of his act, and that's what's helping him become an artist. I'm like, just shut up and sing. Like, no one cares, Kanye. When are you going to realize this? No one cares. Just sing, dude.
Listen, I love Kanye West as an artist.
Right.
And I don't care a bit what he has to say.
No one does.
Not a bit.
After a while, it's like, I'm sorry. Like, you just keep blabbing. It's kind of like Charlie Sheen. No one really cares after a little while. It's like you just keep blabbing, and then everyone kind of shuts off to it.
Yeah. But at least he keeps putting out new music. I think the new Jay-Z Kanye album comes out today.
No,
at least
that's the thing. He's very talented when it comes to music. Very, very talented. You can't deny him that.
All right. We only have time for one more story. I'm going to let you pick, Dax. Do you want to talk about your TMZ spies that were inside the filming of the first episode of Two and a Half Men without Charlie Sheen? Or do you want to talk about what I think is a fascinating story about the real-life controversy over the 30 Minutes or Less movie opening this weekend?
I kind of like that story because we just discussed how we're all over Charlie Sheen anyway. Right. But basically, you know, the new Jesse Eisenberg movie, the 30 Minutes or Less, people are really ticked off. Because if you guys remember back in 2003, there was a pizza man named Brian Wells who got a bomb strapped around his neck and was told to rob a bank, at least according to him. And then on live TV, cops handcuffed and put him on the ground, got up close to him, realized it was a real bomb, backed off, and the bomb went off and killed him instantly.
Oh,
well, now all of Brian's friends are going, this movie is based on his life. This is ridiculous that you guys are making this into a joke. And they're telling the producers to go jump off a bridge, basically.
I am so surprised to see this story on TMZ because we had Aziz Ansari in a couple of weeks ago. We had Danny McBride in last week. We're talking to Nick Swardson later this week. I mean, this movie looks hilarious. Never did it come up, or never did I even imagine that there was a similar real life story that had happened. What do you think? I mean, is it just a coincidence that they came up with this idea, or did somebody base it on that real life news event?
The way I look at it is everything in the world that you could possibly think of, it's probably already happened at one point, whether you know about it or not. So I'm thinking, you know, someone just came up with this idea. I mean, Columbia Pictures themselves said, look, the filmmakers and the stars, no one knew about this incident, so we're really sorry, but we didn't know about it. And
right.
So I think it's very, very easy for them to have done a movie, and then this can also be similar to a real-life situation, and people get ticked off about it.
I agree, but I can also see how if I'm the family member of a real-life pizza guy who had a bomb strapped to himself and was told to rob a bank and exploded on live TV, I can see how this would hit a little too close to home for me to want to go see it this weekend.
Very true. I'm really, really mad about it. So.
All right. If you are interested in the Charlie Sheen story, there's some great details about the upcoming season premiere without Charlie Sheen. You can find that and all the other great stuff. And some nice pictures of Nicki Minaj and the nip slip, too. That's all at TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Check your local listings. Thanks for coming on, Dax. Good to talk to you.
Bye, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it's 5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Stop it.
What are you eating, Kevin? What now? What's going on now?
Is it a whiskey sandwich?
I need greasy food so badly.
Kevin and
you guys are talking way too loud.
Are in Chicago. We've got a complete Lollapalooza recap coming up for you. And if by complete you mean we try to decipher Kevin's tweets late into the night on Friday and Saturday from Chicago. I still can't believe you wrote these things, and apparently you don't remember them.
Well, you made them up. That's why.
You had America really worried if you were going to live to see today's show, so we're all a little bit surprised to hear from you. But we'll be deciphering Kevin's tweets. You can read them for yourself from the weekend at kevinandbean.com. Plus, check out a couple of different photo galleries, Kevin, that you put together of photos that you actually took at the show, right?
Yep, and the video of the people sliding in the mud, which was unbelievable.
And you can see a little bit of Foo Fighters just rocking out in the rain last night, too. That's all available for you at kevinandbean.com. Right now, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat, it's producer Alex.
Good morning. I'm going to kick it off with three pairs of passes to the advanced screening of Fright Night on Tuesday 16th. First three callers into Chip at 800-520-1067. Film comes out Friday, August 19th, and looks good to me.
Who's in this? Is this the Colin Farrell one?
Colin Farrell, ding. Mm-hmm. He could be my neighbor slash vampire any day of the week. Don't care.
You can't say ding.
Ding. Ding.
Can you say ding?
Ding.
She can say ding.
I can't.
Right.
We don't have a dude bell. Ding.
Well, right. You're thinking dong, though, when you say that, right?
Dude ding dong, maybe. Weekend box office, number one, Apes. Go Apes. $54 million.
It's all good and fun until they actually take over.
Not too bad. Smurfs 3D came in at number two. Cowboys and Aliens were number three. And The Change-Up, big disappointment for that opening weekend. Barely hit $14 million. Mm, just shy of that.
That's a surprise to me. And maybe the romantic comedy dollars were going to the Crazy Stupid Love. Maybe that was the competition. But even that didn't do that well this weekend. So I don't know. Where were the ladies? What were the ladies going to see this weekend?
The ladies, I saw Cowboys and Aliens, and I was at home this weekend. I didn't really go out. I got drunk at home. Good times. So, yeah. Sorry, Ryan Reynolds. Lady Gaga wants to star in a movie. Woo! She wants to be Amy Winehouse. Any takers? She says if they
she
were
could
to,
pull that off.
Yeah, if they were to make a big screen film of her life, she would love to do it. She says it's the only role for her, and that after hearing about Amy's passing, she told the ladies of The View she was unable to speak for 2 days. I didn't realize they were that close.
Hmm.
So, good stuff. You okay there, Kevin? Blink-182 are awesome.
Yes, they are.
In case you guys didn't know that. So they normally break the law, do bad things, try to F with people, have some fun. So what they decided to do is they needed to make a music video for their new single, Up All Night, which we're playing, which I love. Mm-hmm. And they decided to take all the YouTube fan videos that people had made and posted to YouTube but used their music illegally. They decided to take all of those videos and make it their official music video for Up All Night.
I love that.
So they were basically rewarding everybody for breaking the law. On a statement on YouTube, they write, to launch our first single in 8 years, AT&T helped us search YouTube for every instance of fans using our music without our permission. And then we rewarded them for it. This film is made out of clips from all those videos. Thanks for being a fan.
That's awesome.
So there,
that is interesting, and it's funny because you watch the video, and some of it they use Blink music, you know, while they were skateboarding or something. But others is bands, you know, playing in their garage doing Blink 182 songs and stuff, and they just cut it all together, and it looks really, really cool. I mean, it's a nice tribute to their fans, and it does kind of make them even cooler, you know, for not fighting piracy like everybody else. But on the other hand, it's also super lazy because they didn't have to do anything, right?
No, but isn't that is like the Kevin and Bean master plan?
Yeah,
that's basically what you guys do.
They have an intern. They said, all right, take this MacBook, go cut up these videos and make us a video. We're going to be over here.
Yeah, that's about it. Neighborhoods by Blink comes out on September 27th. You can head to blink182.com for more info. So Tiger Woods, I know it's a slightly sports celebrity, but I love the story. So he fired his longtime caddy of 12 years, Steve Williams.
I heard, yeah.
And in golf, your caddy is, you know, it's your definition of a wingman, and they get paid a lot of money.
Yeah. Because they have special skills in order. I mean, the golfer knows a lot, but the caddy is the expert on here's the club you need to use, and I'm reading the screen this way, and here's the direction. I mean, you really have a guy who's directing you at every hole.
Right. It's not just your, you know, it's not just,
what are we,
you know,
talking about?
The bitch who carries your bags. Like, they do something. So the thing about Steve Williams is he was Tiger Woods' best friend. He was best man at his wedding. They've been together an extremely long time, you know, professionally and personally. So when Tiger Woods, I don't know, slept with all of North America, Steve Williams had to go out and caddy for other people. He had to still, you know, he had to still have a job.
Living.
So he hooked up with pro golfer Adam Scott, and he'd been like,
by hooked up with.
Yeah. So Tiger got all butthurt about it and then fired him, but under the guise of, you know, we need to move on in our relationship. I think it's time for a change, yada, yada, yada. So now apparently Steve Williams is writing a tell-all book.
No.
Sweet.
Yes. And according to TMZ and Prez, the negotiations of the book aren't made public yet, and nobody knows if Steve Williams ever officially signed, you know, a non-disclosure agreement.
Man.
Because
he said he didn't know anything about Tiger's other women, though.
Uh-huh. Sure he did. I'm sure that's what he told his wife. No, honey, I don't know what Tiger was doing. Yeah. So, and the other sort of good news for Steve is, I guess this past weekend he was working with pro golfer Adam Scott, and Adam Scott won the Bridgestone Invitational.
Oh, how about that?
Tiger Woods finished 37th.
Yeah.
So,
what happened?
What happened? My new favorite girl of the day, Satsuki Mitchell.
Hi!
She is a film producer. She also was Daniel Craig's fiance. However, this may have been news to Daniel Craig as he went and married actress Rachel Weisz.
Okay, not just a girlfriend.
No, they had been
a fiancé.
They lived together in a home here in Los Angeles.
They lived together.
They had been together, I believe, at least 4 or 5 years, shared a home.
This story gets worse and worse.
He was about
better
to,
and better.
He was about to put a ring on it. And the reason why I love Satsuki is, tragically for her, Daniel Craig left the home to go shoot a movie. Okay, bye, honey. Have fun at your movie. His co-star was actress Rachel Weisz. Mm-hmm. She's half ding, fine. And then your fiance Daniel Craig goes away and never calls you from the set, doesn't tweet you, doesn't text you, doesn't send an email, not a Facebook update. Nothing.
She's probably thinking, if he died, I would have heard, right?
Maybe.
That would make the
papers. That would make the news.
So she doesn't hear from him for weeks, month, then finds out, as we all do on, you know, In Touch Weekly, CNN, People, whatever, TMZ, Daniel Craig married Rachel Weisz in front of 4 people in New York, like at the courthouse.
So the burned fiance decided, what do I do as I'm in the home that we shared for years? I know, I'm on your credit card, so I'm going to rack up $1 million on your credit card. Yay! Yay!
I don't think I would know how to do that. Like,
yeah,
how
would.
To get... Really? $1 million?
Yeah.
What kind of limits does he have on his credit cards? I guess the answer is none.
He's James Mother Effin' Bond. He's got a black MX, and I'm going to Beverly Hills, and I'm driving out in a car. I'm buying some shoes. I'm taking my mom out. I'm like, everybody, come on over.
Excuse me, Lisa. I'm sorry to interrupt. We need to do a phone topic of people who were dating somebody that got married.
Love engaged. It. She was engaged to him. They shared
engaged,
a home.
And then she found out that he went off and married somebody else while they were still together, as far as she knew, and hadn't broken up. I bet that happens more often than we know.
Yeah, and
this one, of course, is very public because of the people involved, but I'm sure it happens to regular people, too.
But mind you, it wasn't like, as far as we know, compared to our, crack staff research, Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz weren't like longtime friends. Like,
no,
they met
not
on this
all.
Movie set, and within, 8 to 12 weeks... she just separated from Darren Aronofsky. They have a kid. He left his fiance. In the short amount of time, they not only decide to be together, but get married.
She's pretty hot.
She is hot.
She is pretty hot.
He's pretty hot. My over-under is less than 3 years.
You remember that girl that I was dating who wouldn't return my calls? I've told this story before, and then I went into where she worked, and finally I got somebody to admit that she had moved to South America.
What?
And I had never heard from her again. I mean, I'm calling, leaving messages on her phone going, hey, we're supposed to get together this weekend. I didn't see you. What's up?
Whoa. And how long have you been dating?
Oh, I don't know. 6 or 8 months, maybe? Something like that.
What did you
Sweet.
Do? Did you leave a candy bar on her doorstep?
You think he did?
I was being. That's what I did.
He was being. He did the same thing he does to every woman, and then they move.
She moved out of the country without ever saying goodbye.
Wow.
I found out about it from a friend after she was gone.
We need to button this and revisit it later this week. That's a fantastic topic. It's Boy Band Monday. Happy birthday to J.C. Chazet of NSYNC and Drew Lachey of 98 Degrees.
Tennis. Now, J.C. Chazet, he's the one known as not Justin Timberlake, right?
Right, but was, at the time, he was the good-looking one in the band.
Oh, really?
He was, the pretty one. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. All
tennis right. champ Roger Federer, Kool Moe Dee, The Edge of U2, and Dustin Hoffman. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
One last look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. And, of course, not that Ralph Garman is listening. But if you see him, we hope he feels better and he is back tomorrow. Let's start with some Lollapalooza news, Kevin, in case you want to make plans to return to Chicago next year and maybe look for that shoe you left behind. more than 90,000 people showed up for each of the 3 days of Lollapalooza this year, the weekend just passed. By the way, you never mentioned, you said you saw Eminem, you saw Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
You saw Muse. Did you see Coldplay?
Yes. Coldplay was on at the exact same time as Muse.
Why would they do that?
And it was a mile away. It was the main stages are a mile apart. So I thought, well, I'll watch Muse for a while because they're my second favorite band. And as soon as I get bored, because I just saw them a week ago, then I'll go over and watch Coldplay. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
By the way, I can understand if you want to put bands that maybe don't have a lot of crossover fans opposite each other, like the My Morning Jacket playing the same time as Eminem. I get that. Because you got a lot of the indie rock people who might be over here, and then you got a lot of the pop and hip-hop people who would be over there.
And there was Deadmau5 at the same time as Eminem.
Wow. Tough.
So, yeah,
tough scheduling.
Some tough calls.
Anyway, the show is coming back to Grant Park in Chicago again next year, Kevin, if you want to make your plans now. First, though, the festival is going to run March 31st to April 1st in Santiago, Chile. You remember Perry Farrell told us about that when he was in the other day. Then it heads to Sao Paulo, Brazil. Perhaps you'd like to see Lollapalooza in Brazil, Kevin.
Oh.
That is going to be on April 7th and 8th. And then in Chicago back in next year in August, just like usual, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And, of course, the big surprise of the weekend was Foo Fighters, who love doing those tiny, tiny, tiny club shows and love playing their fans' garages, too. They tweeted, I guess, on Friday, hey, we're looking for something to do in Chicago tomorrow night. Any ideas? And then it was revealed a few minutes later that they were going to be playing this little club called The Metro. 1,150 people is all that are held in the Metro. And by the way, Foo Fighters doesn't just show up and do like 4 songs. They did a regular 2.5-hour gig at a club just for fun.
That is so cool.
The night before they headlined at Lollapalooza.
Wow.
Right, exactly.
It's crazy.
So anyway, there's your Lollapalooza news. And I want to remind you again to go to kevinandbean.com and you can see some photo galleries of Kevin's pictures of artists on stage and also the unbelievable video of the people in the mud mosh pit or something. I don't know what they're doing there, but it's crazy.
Mike, the situation Sorrentino. His dedication to GTL is paying off. TMZ says he has signed on to be the new face of a tanning salon business and will receive a six-figure paycheck. Six-figure, of course, anywhere from $100,000 to $999,000.
God, I hope it's not that. You know, the tanning business is not exactly thriving.
Except in New Jersey.
It might be in New Jersey.
In New Jersey it is. Have you seen the kids on that show? Come on.
Yeah.
Apparently, he also got a piece of the company as well. So they're going to open a bunch of new ones in New Jersey and see if they can cash in on the situation.
I keep thinking that people are going to tire of this show. But when it opened last week, and it was the highest rated premiere in MTV show history with almost 9 million people, I guess people like them. I don't get
them.
It.
But
I don't.
I think like, to hate. Them. I think it's like to hate.
I guess. But man, I mean, I guess it's smart to look for opportunities like this because I can't imagine what the situation is going to be doing in 5 years. You know,
right.
So make it while you can. Right. We talked to Dax Holt from TMZ.com last hour about a story that he just had posted at TMZ. It's our man Kanye, who is back in the news. He was doing a show called the Big Chill Music Festival Saturday night in Britain when he went on one of his big signature rants about how hard it is to be Kanye and how painfully misunderstood he is. I walk through the hotel and I walk down the street and people look at me like I'm effing insane, like I'm Hitler. Now, I don't know. Hitler is kind of a buzzword that really gets people's attention, granted. But especially in England, maybe it's just best if you're an entertainer to maybe not bring up Hitler. Right?
Yeah, probably a good rule.
Bad history with Hitler in World War II, don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kanye continues, one day the light will shine through, and one day people will understand everything I ever did.
Yeah, he really, he's super talented, but he believes that more than most.
Yes, he does.
He really likes himself some him.
And I don't think Kanye is misunderstood. I think we know, as the president famously said, he's just a talented jackass, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not misunderstood. We know what Kanye's all about. We get it.
Anyway. Kim Kardashian's limited edition fragrance has already sold out. 1,000 bottles of her fragrance were produced. It's called Love. One bottle was for her to wear at her wedding later this month to New Jersey Nets' Chris Humphreys. 200 were for her bridal shower. The remaining $7.99 were sold on her website for $100 a bottle. Now it's gone, and she's going to start putting them in stores, and she's going to make... How much do stars make with these fragrances? Oh, hundreds of millions of dollars
they
sometimes.
Make so it can much be. Money.
Yeah. It can be, yeah. But, crazy. I mean, honestly, look, I've seen the sex video. Who wants to smell like Kim Kardashian, right?
Well, not after the sex video, but...
No, I wasn't sure. I didn't know how that worked.
I don't think so.
We're almost out of time. Rise of the Planet of the Apes was your number one film over the weekend with a huge jaw-dropping debut. No one predicted $54 million. So all that means is there will be another Planet of the Apes movie. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about a couple of boy banders? J.C. Chazet from NSYNC is 35 today, as is Drew Lachey. He, of course, was from 98 Degrees. It's funny. I don't even think of him as being a singer anymore. He's just a TV personality now, but he did actually used to have a music career. Academy Award-winning actor Dustin Hoffman celebrating his birthday today. He is 74. Scott Stapp from Creed is only 37. I thought he would be like 50 by now.
He was 37 when he started singing with Creed, wasn't he?
That's what I thought. And I can't believe we've gone the whole day without any love for Larry Wilcox. He was the one who was not Eric Estrada on Chips. He was the other CHP officer on Chips. He is 64 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Bean. Tuesday morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Your boyfriend or girlfriend got married.
Yikes.
That's a surprise.
Yeah.
While you thought you were still dating him or her. That is a bad surprise.
I didn't see that coming. We're going to talk to the spokesperson for 5 Second Films. We have a brand new game called Is Bean an A-Hole?
Okay. Now, what's that about?
Yeah,
I don't think I like the sound of that.
I don't know, but
I want to play.
Yeah, we will. You'll get to play tomorrow. Okay. And comedian Eddie Ift in the studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.